Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We're so blessed that each week you listen to these messages. If you'd like to join us on Sunday mornings, we worship at 9 a.m. Pacific time. You can come in person. Our address is 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California. And many of you can't join us in person because the broadcasts are broadcast all over. But you could join us live stream at 9 a.m. Pacific. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream. You can chat. You can worship. You can offer up prayers and fellowship. You can grow in grace. If you miss all those opportunities, you can go to our YouTube channel at the Seed Christian Fellowship and watch the weekly messages or the full weekly worship services. We even post our children's messages, which are really, really good for our children and for adults. So I say that our mission statement here at the Seed, and I try and say it every week, but it's really in my heart. Our mission statement is that we all come to know the love of God, to really know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and to go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. I love those action words, know, grow, go, and sow. Truly is my prayer that each of us come to know and really know the love of God, and that we grow in that grace of Christ, and that we go in the power of the Holy Spirit into this world of ours, sowing seeds of faith. That's my prayer every day as I wake up. Lord, I want to know you more. I want to grow in your grace more. I want to go each day out into the world through the power of your Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. We're going to be looking at the Gospel of John today. We're going to be in verses 1, chapter 1, 1 through 18. Can you just imagine John the Apostle sitting down to write this letter? John was one of the first disciples Jesus asked to follow me. John had been an eyewitness of all the miracles and wonders that Christ performed while he was on earth. John saw grace of the loaves and fishes multiplied to feed 10,000, 5,000 men and women, 5,000 men plus women and children, people believe, 10,000 people. He even ate some of that miracle. John experienced the grace of plain water being turned into the finest wine. John saw the storm stilled on the Sea of Galilee, and John was there when Jesus walked on water. John saw the lame healed, the deaf hear, the blind see, and he even saw the dead being raised. John read the letters of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I am sure that he even read most of the letters of Paul before he sat down to write his account of his best friend Jesus, the Messiah, the God-man, who was filled with a fullness of grace and truth. Each week, every year, at the beginning of the year, we ask people to draw a new name. And if you want a new name, let me know. I'll draw a name for you and email it to you. Just email me at Pastor Dave. We're invited to bring this new name up. And I put my new name on my refrigerator. One year, I drew Seed Sower. Wow, that's pretty fascinating. As I prayed, last year I drew the name Shepherd of the Sheep. There's a whole list of names we draw from. God wants to work in you a new name. He also wants to work a word in you. If you have we put a board up and we ask people to pray about what word, what one thing that God wants to work in your life. As I prayed, the word fearless kept coming into my mind and heart. I want to be fearless. If you also, for me, was the word focus. We would write our word of intention on a canvas. This year, I'm going to write the word clarity. The canvas at our church will be on display each week. And if you have a word that God is working in your life, email me at Pastor Dave. One of my passages that I love to read at this time of year is Isaiah 41:10. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will hold you, and I will retain you with my victorious right hand." Wow. God's going to be with us. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're struggling with. I want you to know that God is with you. Before we move on, remember, Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Why not focus on your word of intention as you seek the Word of God each day? That's my prayer for you. Before we turn to God's Word, let us come to the throne of grace. Lord God of all grace, we come today to receive grace upon grace. We come to be filled with the fullness of grace and truth as we study your word. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see the grace you daily pour out upon us. Amen. Are you ready? Let's get going. John chapter 1, 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who comes from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing from another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Grace, grace, grace. What comes to your mind when you hear the word grace? What is grace? We say the word all the time. People are given the name grace, and we say grace before meals. We sing songs about it, like the song "Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone." When grace is poured out, it's more than adequate. Let us look at verse 16. Just for a little bit today. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. When we receive grace, we are giving all we would need. Grace is abundantly adequate. In the 17th century, a young boy was born into a Christian home. And for the first 6 years of his life, he heard the truths of the gospel and was dearly loved. Sadly, though, his parents died. The orphan boy went to live with relatives, and while he was mistreated, abused, and ridiculed for his interest in Christ, the orphan wouldn't tolerate that situation, and though still a boy, fled and joined the Royal Navy. In the Navy, the boy's life went downhill. He became known as a brawler and was whipped many times. Finally, while he was still young, he deserted the Royal Navy and fled to Africa, where he attached himself to a Portuguese slave trader. There, his life reached its lowest point. There were times when he actually ate off the floor with his hands and knees. He escaped, then became attached to another slave trader as the first mate of his ship. But the young man's pattern of life had become desperately depraved. He stole the ship's whiskey and got so drunk that he fell overboard. He was close to drowning when one of his shipmates harpooned him and brought him back on board. As a result, the young man had a huge scar on his side for the rest of his life. His life did not get much lower. Finally, in the midst of a great storm off the coast of Scotland, after days and days of pumping water out of the boat, the young man began to reflect on verses he had heard as a boy and was marvelously converted. The new life he found is reflected in those famous words that he promised and penned, "Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. I was blind, but now I see." This young man, John Newton, became one of the great preachers of the 17th century, all because of the amazing grace of God. Cooper's Dictionary defines grace as, quote, "grace, the English translation of a Greek word meaning concretely that which brings delight, joy, happiness, and good fortune. Grace is in classical Greek applied art, person, speech, or athletics, as well as to the good fortune, kindness, and power bestowed by the gods upon divine men, moving them in miraculous deeds. I like to define grace with an acronym. I do it in the form of a cross, but think of the G at the top of the cross. On the right is the R at the end of the horizontal beam, an A in the middle of the cross, and C at the left end of the horizontal beam, and E at the bottom of the cross, G-R-A-C-E. G stands for gods, R stands for riches, relationship, righteousness, reconciliation, restoration. A is at, C is Christ, and E is expense. God's riches at Christ's expense, God's relationship at Christ's expense, God's righteousness at Christ's expense, God's reconciliation at Christ's expense, God's restoration at Christ's expense. Grace is unearned, unmerited, undeserved, unjustified, unwarranted, unfounded favor, love, mercy, and forgiveness that moves us to miraculous deeds. In her book, Amazing Grace, the writer and poet Kathleen Norris shares that she calls, quote, the scariest story ever told she's ever heard from the Bible. Norris and her husband were visiting a man named Arlo, a rugged self-made man who was facing terminal cancer. During their visit, Arlo started talking about his grandfather, a sincere Christian. The grandfather gave Arlo his Bible, a wedding present, an expensive leather Bible with their names printed in gold lettering. Arlo left the Bible in the box and never opened it. For months after the wedding, his grandfather kept asking if he liked the Bible. Arlo told Norris the wife had written a nice thank you note, and he thanked him in person, but somehow he couldn't let it lie. He always had to ask again. Finally, Arlo grew curious enough to open the Bible. The joke was on me, Arlo said. I finally took the Bible out of the closet, and I found that Granddad had placed a $20 bill at the beginning of the book of Genesis, and at the beginning of every book, over $1,300 in all. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. If you would like prayer, our prayer team would like to pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Arlo experienced grace, over $1,300 tucked away in the pages of a Bible. The word grace is used 134 times in 126 different verses in the Bible. It is only used 11 times in the Old Testament, and the closest Hebrew word for grace is hesed, H-E-S-E-D, it's kind of guttural, chesed, which is translated loving kindness. The word grace is used four times in the Gospels, three of them by the Apostle John when he describes Jesus. Listen to John's words from chapter 1 again. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me who has surpassed me because he was before me from the fullness of his grace. We have received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Jesus comes from the Father, full of grace and truth, and then from the fullness of Jesus, we receive one blessing after another. The Greek word for fullness, found in verse 14 and 16, is pleroma, which means that which fills, entirety, fullness, totality, full measure. It is the sense of the act of filling over and over and over again. It's like a cup of water, like I'm holding a cup of water, and we start to fill it, and we just keep filling it, and it's overflowing. It's pleroma. It's like I have this pitcher in my hand, and I keep filling it, and the water overflows and continues to overflow. This is grace, grace that never stops. Imagine, just imagine what we are hearing and seeing. God's grace has been poured out over and over and over and over and over and over again into his one and only Son who came and pitched the tent and dwelt among us on this planet Earth. The fullness of God's grace has been poured out upon us over and over again so that we can receive one blessing after another. Oh, how God loves us and keeps loving us. Just the thought of grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Grace being poured out on us makes me feel overwhelmed with joy and even tears when I think about this grace that comes. There once was a sign for a lost dog. There was a big cash reward for whoever found the lost dog, and a description of the dog. It said, he's only got three legs, he's blind in the left eye, he's missing a right ear, his tail has been broken off, he's almost deaf, and always answers to the name Lucky. The dog isn't lucky. He's been through a whole lot of messes, but he's lucky because he's got an owner who loves him and wants him back. That's what grace is all about. We have an owner who loves us and wants us back. As I mentioned earlier, the word grace is used 134 times in 126 verses, 11 of them in the Old Testament and 4 in the Gospels. Let's get to Paul. Paul, the Damascus Road guy, former Christian persecutor, now turned by God's grace into a Christian leader. Did you know that Paul uses the word grace 79 times in 13 letters? That is 63% of the usage of the word grace in the Bible. I have put together a little sheet of some of the usages of the word grace. Paul begins, if you'd like that, just email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. I'll send you this little sheet I put together on grace. Paul begins every one of his 13 letters with grace, and he ends each letter with grace. It's like he wraps all that he wants to say in grace. Let's think of Paul for a minute. Paul of Tarsus was his name before God changed it to Paul. Paul was trained under the rabbi Gamaliel. Gamaliel was the best of the best rabbis in that day, and Paul got to sit at Gamaliel's feet and learn all there was about God and the law. He was a devoted Jew, even to the point of persecuting the early Christians with his zeal for the law. Paul was there at the stoning of Stephen, holding the coats of those throwing the stones that killed Stephen. Paul was on the road to Damascus to round up followers of Jesus when he was knocked down and blinded. He was on the road where Saul met Jesus, and grace upon grace was poured out upon Paul. It was around 37 AD when Saul encountered grace on the road, grace in the form of Christ. Paul's life would never be the same. In 49 AD, Paul started writing about grace, and he never stopped until 67 AD when he gave his life for grace. Just think, in Paul's writing of grace, in Romans, he writes about grace 16 times in 18 chapters. In 1st and 2nd Corinthians, he writes about grace 17 times. In Galatians, 7 times. Ephesians, 11 times. Philippians, 3 times. Colossians, 4 times. In 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 6 times. 1st and 2nd Timothy, 7 times. And Titus, 4 times. And Philemon, 2 times. A total of 79 times, he writes about the fullness of God's grace that has been poured out over and over again. In Ephesians, we read the words about grace from Paul in the first chapter. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins in accordance to the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us in all wisdom and understanding, that he made known to us in the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put in effect when the times will have reached fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Ephesians 1, 3-14, a beautiful prayer. And then the second chapter in Ephesians, he says, it is by grace you have been saved, and that God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed to us in the kindness of Jesus Christ. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is a gift of God, not by work, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Praise to the glorious of his grace. Grace. Wow. He's only got three legs. He's blind in the left eye. He's missing a right ear. His tail has been broken off. He's almost deaf, and he answers the name Lucky. That dog isn't lucky. He's been through the whole world with a lot of mess, but he's lucky because he's got an owner who loves him. Listen, I don't know where you're at, but you got an owner who loves him. In 1990, Brennan Manning wrote a book called The Ragamuffin Gospel. My wife was working at a Christian bookstore in Illinois when I was in seminary. The owners gave her a copy of the book and asked her to read it and to make sure I read it. The Ragamuffin Gospel was forever touched our lives. I cannot tell you how many copies of that book I've given out. I have bought and given away copies for the last 25 years, I think. Well, yeah. The gospel of Jesus is a gospel of grace. And all of God's riches at Christ's expense, his death on the cross, this gospel isn't for the perfect. This gospel isn't for those who have arrived. This gospel is for sinners. This gospel is for ragamuffins like you and me. I have read all of Brennan Manning's books, including his last book. I've had the opportunity to go and hear Brennan speak over the years. He has since passed away. Manning reminds me of Paul and his writings. I would say Paul's focus word is grace. Brennan's life was turned around by God's fullness of grace, and he kept pouring it out over and over again. In his last book, titled All Is Grace, perhaps Manning's focus word was grace. Philip Yancey, a writer and friend of Manning's, writes in the foreword of the book, quote, "We have stumbled upon an artesian well of grace and have been gulping its water since." The water in an artesian well flows to the land's surface because of the pressure in the rocks underground, the force of the water to the surface. No pump needed. That's God's grace. Grace, God's grace doesn't need you or me. Every day, God's grace is coming and going to the surface and overwhelming us over and over again. We don't have to go buy some special sort of pump so that we can enjoy God's grace. It's free. It's amazing. In Brennan's own words, this book is for myself and for those who have been around the block enough times that they dare whisper the ragamuffin rumor, all is grace. So what? I've been a pastor for over 25 years. I've been a pastor at the Seed almost 15 years. I have a vision to know God's love, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, go in the Holy Spirit's power, and sow seeds of faith. I believe those seeds of faith are seeds of grace. It is my prayer that we have learned the glorious riches of God's grace. It's my prayer that we will grow in this grace more and more, that we will stand under the faucet of God's great grace in Christ and soak up God's never-ending, abundant, overflowing grace of love, mercy, peace, forgiveness, reconciliation. The rumor is true. All is grace. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. We cannot deserve it or earn it or merit it or buy it or justify it. God pours it out upon us. Grace, grace, God's grace. Friends, were it not for grace, the rumor mill is true. God's grace is the never-ending artesian well that will overwhelm your heart, your life, with the riches of Christ, and it is free, and it is for you, no matter what shape or situation you find yourself in. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we give thanks for your grace upon grace. Help us to grow in your grace each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. God loves you, and so do I. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you, and give you his grace every day. Every hour, every minute. God bless. See you next week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers, growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.